It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
What is happening, everybody? Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this absolutely gorgeous day, Friday. High school football coming up a little bit later on tonight. Many of you will be heading to games here in a bit. I'm sure we got a bunch of games on our Leitner Communications stations. I'll let you know which games will be airing here in just a bit. If you want to give me a buzz, 946-0435. Anything that you'd like to discuss. Just wanted to throw this out because it's been a little while, and I don't know the answer to this. A good friend of the show, Nebraska Man. We've not heard from Nebraska Man in probably at least 2 months, maybe 3 months. I know he had a health issue, but we have not heard anything since then. Hopefully Nebraska Man is doing okay. And I want to send a shout out. If anybody knows Nebraska Man, tell him that we're thinking of him and that hopefully he's doing all right. And we hope to hear from him soon. I miss not hearing Nebraska Man. Number one caller. He'd call in pretty much every day. It was great, just a great dude. Always had a lot of good stuff to talk about. So I was thinking about him earlier today. So best wishes, Nebraska Man. Hopefully everything's all right, buddy. All right, if you would like to join us for anything that's on your mind, 946-0435. We got a lot of football to discuss today. Penn State at home tomorrow against UCLA at noon. That is a 4-touchdown point spread, for crying out loud. This is the first time Penn State will play one of the new Pac-12 additions to the Big Ten. And then next week they go out to Los Angeles to USC. So that's a gigantic game. This one really is not. USC is drastically undermanned in this one. I want to spend a couple minutes talking about something I saw earlier today reported by On3. All right, so this is pretty fascinating to me because for a good while I've been talking about the likelihood that there's going to be a professional college football league. It's not going to be called the professional college football league, but that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the professional college football league. It's going to be made up of the haves of college football, the programs that have a lot of money, that have a lot of sway, have a lot of financial impact, put a lot of resources into football, blah, 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 blah. How many programs will be in this professional college football league? Okay. Now, I've been talking for a couple years about the possibility of like 40 to 48 teams, right? 40 is probably too low because that's going to cut out a lot of teams that do want a seat at the table, including quite possibly Pitt. I don't think Pitt makes the cut at 40. 48, I think Pitt makes the cut. 48 is a good number to have in your professional college football league. Now, keep in mind, I'm talking about teams that spend a ton of money on football and that make a ton of money on football. And Pitt is down the line a good bit. Power program, claimed a bunch of national championships, tremendous history, a lot of players in the Football Hall of Fame. Financially, not really as all in, but Pitt should have a seat at the table. So I've always thought, 48 teams would be a good number for the professional college football league. Earlier, I guess it was last season, I saw a report from The Athletic that listed 60 teams. And I thought, man, that's a lot. Where are they going to come up with 60 teams? Because I don't think there are 60 college football programs in this country that spend and make the kind of money to belong at the upper echelon with the big boys. So then this comes out today. This is from On Three, the media source covers college football and college athletics. Says the College Student Football League unveiled its proposal this week. So that's what they that's apparently what some people would kind of like to call it. The College Student Football League. Okay. I call it the Professional College Football League. They want to call it the College Student Football League. Unveiled its proposal this week. Presidents at West Virginia and Syracuse back the idea. In a letter in the Chronicle of Higher Ed, they predicted the, quote, implosion of the FBS, end quote, if the college football model isn't restructured. Okay? So they're calling this, there's this proposal that's in the Chronicle of Higher Education. Presidents of West Virginia and Syracuse back this idea. Do you know how many teams they have in their college student football league? 72. For crying out loud. SMU is in this. Memphis is in this. Navy is in this. See what we're talking about here? Go through the rest of the list. Washington State, Oregon State, two teams left behind by the Pac-12. Vanderbilt in the SEC. So you got 72, and what they've got here is they've got 12 conferences split up by geography. Here is Penn State's conference. It's called the Mideast. Okay, this is the proposal, apparently, that is in the Chronicle of Higher Education that some university presidents like. Here's the Mideast conference for Penn State. Cincinnati. Penn State. Pitt. Rutgers, Syracuse, West Virginia. You think that's one of the worst friggin' conferences in the country? Holy hell. That's the proposal. 13 games over 15 weeks, 5 division games, 8 non-division games. Prior season's top 36 schools earn a 7th home game. 72 teams in this college student football league. There's no way in hell there should be 72 teams at the highest level of college football. There's 135 right now. Now, that includes the very lower levels, Akron, Kent State, you know, Central Michigan, those kinds of teams. 72. So what you've got is all these Big Ten and SEC teams that make a ton of money. They make a ton of money. They spend a ton of money. They prioritize football at the highest level. Think the Los Angeles Dodgers. And you've also got SMU and Memphis and Navy and Vanderbilt. And, you know, I'll poke fun at Rutgers. They've been bad for a long time. I don't think they should even be in this. Although they're in the Big Ten, they're probably going to have a spot. Oregon State, Washington State. So what's preposterous about this is this is being reported as an idea to replace the current setup of college football. To throw out the Big Ten, to throw out the SEC, to have a college student football league with 12 conferences. Here's another conference. Boston College, Maryland, Navy, Notre Dame, Virginia, Virginia Tech. Good Lord. Here's one. Colorado, Kansas, Kansas State, Missouri, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. BYU, Oregon, Oregon State, Utah, Washington, Washington State. The idea of this is so preposterous because the Big Ten and the SEC make tons and tons and tons of money. Why on earth would any Big Ten team or SEC team or the conferences as a whole sign off on doing away with their league and joining some geographic, meandering, crazy 72 freaking school college football league? It's stupid. This is a proposal that's out there that is apparently getting some serious consideration. It's dumb. You can't, should not have 72 teams competing at the highest level. You can't. This example I made discussing this with somebody earlier today, this is like having a whole bunch of freaking Pittsburgh Pirates in Major League Baseball. Okay? So you got 72 teams instead of one Pittsburgh Pirates in Major League Baseball. Let's have 14. Let's have 14 Pittsburgh Pirates. Anybody want that? Anybody want 14 Pittsburgh Pirates that in no way can come remotely close to having the kind of resources to compete at the top with the Los Angeles Dodgers, with some of these, the Mets, some of these other teams that spend tons and tons of money? But that's a proposal that's out there. It's fascinating. We got, we did have Clarkster on the line. Maybe he's not there any longer. We will see. Clarkster, if you're there, give me a call back. All right, we'll go to the line. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you with me? Hello?
Hello?
All right, yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Corey, this is Dave from Hollidaysburg.
What's going on, Dave? Good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, I heard the, quote, proposal. If that were a good idea, the original, the now, you know, realignment would have never happened.
Yeah.
The kings of the SEC and the Big Ten are going to look at that as, like, you want us to do what exactly?
You want us to pay for it. You want us to pay
our power,
yeah,
money,
yeah,
and draw, yep, and separate ourselves into these little six conference things.
12.
That you're talking about?
You want us to pay for Memphis and SMU and TCU and Navy? You want us to pay for them like the Dodgers pay for the Pirates?
Well, yeah, but they're expecting to give up all their power and authority. Yeah. You know that's never going to happen.
Never. But, look, I don't know.
I mean, even if it were a great, good idea, those two conferences are going to go, like, talk to us some other time when we're not busy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think at some point within the next 5 to 10 years, there will be a professional college football league. I don't know how many teams. Mm-hmm. Again, I think 40 to 50 is a pretty good number. I think the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have complete and total control over this. And maybe there's a third super conference. Maybe it's the Big 12. I doubt it's the ACC, but, you know, who knows? So, but there's no way in the world the Big Ten and the SEC are going to be giving up, again, their power, money, control, influence, all of those things.
No, they're just going to zoom more teams and become bigger and probably, like you said, you're going to – I don't even think there's going to be another conference. I think you're going to have the SEC in whatever form in the Big Ten, and those two kings are going to come together and basically say, we're done with the NCAA. We're going to create our own college football playoff, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's the kind of power they would have. Dave, good to hear from you, buddy. Thanks for calling in, man. We'll take one more. Then I got a good Penn State football guest here in a second. Clarkster, what's going on, man?
I had to laugh what you just said.
Okay.
you said they want us to pay for Memphis and SMU.
Yep.
Well,
that's what would happen.
Come on, Corey. What was Kent? What was Bowling Green?
Yeah, but they would still
they
be doing that.
You by the you know what?
I agree with that, but I'm talking about pay for it with regards to like the Dodgers pay for the Pirates. The Pirates I've seen reported the Pirates get roughly $110 million in revenue sharing money.
I want to see where Penn State goes with these additions to the stadium, the changes. Are they going to do what Tennessee does, put on a 20% tax for talent fee? You know, I think the schools are scared you-know-what-less regarding the whole situation with declaring them employees. And they're coming up and concocting some idea that pushes it off of them when, in fact, they don't want to address the situation.
Yeah, look, I don't dispute that. That's a separate discussion. That's going to happen regardless of what happens with the conferences.
Well, you're going to pay for it. They know. I mean, Philly's tickets on the internet are going for $400 plus.
So let me say this. Given that they're going to have to pay all this stuff, it lends further credence to the notion that there's no way the SEC and the Big Ten schools are going to agree to some massive revenue-sharing type of college football conference where they've got to pay for everybody else as well and share all the TV. That's what it comes down to. The Big Ten and the SEC, they control their TV revenue. The Big Ten gets $70 million per program for TV. The SEC is close to that. These numbers would be dwindled to a third of that if you have to share it with everybody else.
You talked about the absurdity of college yesterday or the other day or whatever it was. You're paying $1.6 million to Kent and Bowling Green.
But here's the thing, Clark. They would still be paying that because they would still be playing, according to this kind of proposal, non-division games. They would still be having to pay probably to have some of those other people come for bye games.
Everything's going to be on the table to negotiate, but they don't want to have to call them somehow employees, because then you're going to look at it and with the alumni, the ones that really, you know, like football, but they really don't when it comes to academics, they're going to say, you're paying what for a quarterback or a lineman, and what are you paying a professor? They don't want to hold these things up. You know, that's where we're moving towards. So there's going to be a lot of changes and a lot of concoctions that lawyers can come up with, and who knows where this goes.
It's crazy to think about what's going to happen 5-10 years from now. If we could go back 10 years ago, it's crazy to think where we are now. It's almost like computers. You know, computers really didn't come into the home until the early to mid 80s, and look how far we've come in 40 years. We don't even recognize the world anymore because of computers. We're already to the point where we don't recognize the college athletic world at this stage.
These kids have more freedom to move around than a pro player does, if you think about
it. Absolutely, yeah. And what's to say that they're going to have to sign long-term contracts? You know, at some point, they're going to sign a four-year contract, and the transfer portal won't be an option.
Yeah, well, who knows where this is going to go, and I wouldn't be surprised that anything, you know, would be on the table, and what you couldn't see now becomes, you know, something that does get palatable, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Red and Rose Pacific Coast.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Auto Mart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Auto Mart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Auto Mart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Penn State's got UCLA Saturday afternoon at Beaver Stadium. UCLA is really bad, really bad. Four-touchdown underdog in this game. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now joins us. Joe, how bad is UCLA? What do they have? Do they have any prayer in this game?
No. Simply put, they have a prayer to cover, maybe. But I don't think they accomplished that either, even with a 28-point spread. It was obviously going to be a tough situation regardless, with Chip Kelly leaving in February, which is not an optimal time at all for a college head coach to leave. Then you have Deshaun Foster with no head coaching experience, putting together a staff that from what I've been told and talking with some people from who cover UCLA, the staff just hasn't really gotten it done so far, and that's probably a big reason why Ethan Garbers, who had a pretty good season last year statistically, and UCLA had a decent season going 8-5, he hasn't been very good this season, and if he does play at all, he's going to be far from 100%, it sounds like. So, no, UCLA hasn't been close, really, in any of its three losses. LSU, 7-point game in the fourth quarter, but still they ended up losing by 17 the other two. Just they didn't have a chance against Indiana or Oregon at the Rose Bowl. So, no, I think if you're a UCLA fan, you're just seeing if they could cover that four-touchdown spread.
Yeah, the LSU game is intriguing. I was watching some of that and wondering, like, how in the world they were staying close. Can we read anything into the LSU game that maybe UCLA's got something that could help them stay a little bit closer tomorrow?
I don't think so. I think that if UCLA had really had taken advantage of that, whatever momentum they had from staying close with LSU, they would have taken it into the next game against Oregon and at least kept it respectable with their old Pac-12 foe. But it just didn't happen for them. UCLA, frankly, got embarrassed on its home turf by the Oregon Ducks, and that's kind of the type of team that they're going to be facing Saturday against Penn State. Penn State and Oregon are two really two of the elite teams in the Big Ten, two teams that if anybody's going to knock off Ohio State to win the conference, it's going to be them. So I think if we could read anything into the first 45 minutes of UCLA and LSU, UCLA would have followed that momentum into the next game, and it just didn't happen.
Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports now. Can we read anything into Nicholas Singleton and whether he will play Saturday? He was not at the open part of practice for the media on Wednesday. James Franklin was asked about it, said he was asked, you know, will this impact his ability to play? James said, like, no, not at this stage. And that was kind of it. And so there was a little bit of, I don't know if confusion is the right way to put it, but some people seem to think that there was a hint that maybe Nick was out for a while or what the hell else. Who knows with the way these things get worded and what, you know, James Franklin's not going to really tell us anything. What's your best guess? What are you hearing? What do you think is going to happen with Singleton tomorrow?
Yeah, and as we know, Corey, James Franklin just doesn't reveal anything when it comes to injuries, and that's how it's always going to be, at least until college football doesn't give coaches an option to hide that stuff, which, as we know, college football is becoming more like pro football by the year, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if a few years down the line, coaches have to be upfront about that stuff. I think that day might be coming sooner than we think, but for now, you know, Nicholas Singleton didn't get hurt against Illinois, and even he was one of the people that we talked to Tuesday for Penn State's weekly Zoom availability. So if anything serious happened, and this is just based on kind of putting everything together, this isn't based on any inside information. If anything happened, it would have been at Tuesday practice, you would think. Obviously, those things happen in practices, and it's possible. But from what I've been able to put together, it sounds like something pretty minor. And even if, say, he does miss UCLA, nothing based on what we know, which is that Singleton didn't get hurt against Illinois and talked with media in the week, and nothing I've heard since that would suggest that he's going to be out for a long time.
Okay, this is a noon game. Very intriguing from this standpoint that it's a 9 a.m. game on the bodies of UCLA players. All right, so this is equivalent to 9 o'clock in the morning for them. Now, I've got to believe that any responsible coach and coaching staff, they would have adjusted their schedule this week to make sure that the guys go to bed earlier, get up, go to bed early, get up a little earlier, simulate practice. I mean, it would be so ridiculously stupid and foolish that it's almost impossible to believe they would come out here without having to prepared for playing essentially what to them is like a 9 o'clock in the morning game. So I would tend to think that they've done something to try to get used to that element. On the flip side, it's a noon game for Penn State. Penn State's had a lot of issues starting games, period, against almost everybody in the first quarter, offensively, I'm speaking of primarily. So we've got this noon element, slower starts for Penn State, UCLA playing in a game that's like 9 o'clock in the morning to them. How does all of – because, again, we're talking about a 28-point line. And if you're going to cover a 28-point line – you either have to kind of dominate the whole way or you have to score a bunch of touchdowns really quick in the third or fourth quarter. Either way could happen. But how do you expect the game to start tomorrow given kind of these weird circumstances?
Yeah, I think Penn State's going to start fast. I really do. And we know what the history has been in recent years with Penn State and noon kicks. I think last season they had three noon kicks. They played at Illinois and Northwestern, then had those big games at home against Michigan and on the road against Ohio State. They started slow in all four of those games, at least offensively. In Illinois and Northwestern, they obviously had enough – there was enough of a talent gap there to where it was just a matter of time before Penn State woke up. And then obviously, as we know, at Ohio State and against Michigan, they never woke up. But Penn State, that was when Mike Yurcich was the offensive coordinator. Now, obviously, a lot of things are different under Andy Kotelnicki, and one of them just might be that Penn State is starting fast offensively. I think
There's been two noon games this season. One of them was at West Virginia, where the offense took a while to get going. But I think a lot of that could have just been with it being week one and there being natural jitters and it being in a hostile environment and it being a new offense and all those factors. I don't know how much you really kick played into that. But the next week against Bowling Green, a lot of people might not have realized it because for whatever reason, the defense started so poorly and gave up 24 points in the first half. But the offense was really good in that first half against Bowling Green. Scored on the first drive, ended up with 20 points by halftime. And, yeah, based on that and based on, obviously, UCLA not being very good, I think Penn State is going to start off fast offensively. And I think that this defense is pretty close to being at its best, as we saw in the second half against Illinois. So I don't think UCLA is going to get anything going against Penn State at any point throughout the day. And I think that this offense is going to want to make a statement before USC. And I think Penn State's going to score some points in the first quarter.
I saw on Twitter earlier today you teased at picking this as shutout. Have you gotten a score? Are you going the shutout route?
I am going the shutout route. I'll say 38-0. I talked with Ben Bolch. I think that's how you say his last name, but he's UCLA's beat guy for the LA Times. He has Penn State winning 52-13. I don't think Penn State's going to score 52, but I don't think they're going to score. They're going to give up 13 ever. I mean, look at this UCLA offense. This running game, Corey, is the worst running game in the country statistically that isn't Kent State. And Kent State's probably the worst team in the country. So you consider that, and then you consider that UCLA has a starting quarterback that hasn't played well when healthy and isn't going to be healthy if he does play. You know, and with the way this Penn State defense has been playing, how is UCLA going to move the ball? I just don't see it. The only ways I see UCLA scoring points are late in the game when Penn State lets its guard down, which I'm assuming they'll be in a position to do that. Or if Justin Martin either starts or gets in the game early, that's the backup quarterback for UCLA. If he's a guy that Penn State doesn't really have much film on him, if UCLA can kind of take advantage of that, he's a mobile quarterback, good athlete. Maybe they'll get something going that way. I don't know. But, just based on a horrible running team, UCLA, I think, is averaging 57 yards per game. And every other Big Ten team is averaging at least 100. It's pretty ugly. So combine that with already spotty quarterback situation and a starting quarterback that's not going to be healthy, I just don't see how UCLA gets really anything done at all against this Penn State defense. So, yeah, these guys have shut out teams before. The Iowa game comes to mind last season, and I think this UCLA offense just might be at an Iowa level, a Brian Ferentz Iowa level right now. And for people to know anything about Brian Ferentz, that would sting if you're a UCLA fan.
Ah, good stuff. Joe Smeltzer, Nittany Sports. Now I want to get to the big picture here with you, okay? And I'm going to put you on the spot. You can completely disagree with me. It's perfectly fine if you do. I don't think UCLA belongs in the Big Ten. I do not think the Big Ten should have added UCLA. I think it was a mistake.
Hang on.
I think UCLA is going to be a gigantic underachiever in the Big Ten forever. And I mean forever. They might have a nice year here or there if they catch lightning in a bottle. They're an incredibly soft program. You already got the LA TV market with USC. I think they're little brother. I think they're the little brother of the Big Ten. It's not Michigan State. Michigan State's no longer little brother. I think the only reason UCLA is in the Big Ten is because USC wasn't coming without UCLA. And I just think it was a gigantic mistake. I think they will add now, I'm talking football. Basketball's another story, and we can get into that another day. From a football standpoint, I think they add absolutely nothing to the Big Ten.
Yeah, and definitely I would agree that of the four teams added to the Big Ten, Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA, you know, one of these things is not like the other. UCLA is definitely the weakest of those four. But, you know, with the success that Rutgers is starting to have under Greg Schiano and with how bad Rutgers was in its first few years in the Big Ten, I think I have to wait a few years for to really say.
That's
okay,
a bad comparison,
UCLA
though,
football.
Joe. Rutgers has played tough, physical Big Ten. Even when Rutgers sucked, they still lined up and punched you in the mouth, and especially during both of Schiano's stints. Never has UCLA lined up and punched anybody in the mouth. Never. They were one of the softest programs in the country in the Pac-12, playing against a bunch of other soft programs. I think they're the softest program in the Big Ten, even softer than Indiana. Softer. No, you can't say Northwestern. Northwestern loses, but they go out and they beat the hell out of you. Softer than Purdue. I think we're talking about a 20-to-30-year ordeal here for UCLA to try to figure out how to play football against Big Ten competition week in and week out.
Well, we'll see what college football looks like.
Yeah, exactly. Could be a very different landscape.
But yeah, I guess the style of the Pac-12 teams is definitely interesting. I think obviously USC, even though they've won a lot, has been criticized for playing quote unquote soft football. But they've also won, and UCLA just hasn't won. So we'll see how UCLA can adjust to playing in the Big Ten. You know, there's a lot of talent out in California, and if it's Deshaun Foster or whoever else knows how to recruit that talent and get some of the guys that are being overlooked by USC or other schools, Stanford, et cetera, then, yeah, maybe they can get a team that's good enough to adjust to the Big Ten level. I think it's going to take a while, but – yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can completely say that they don't belong just based on four games.
But for 15 years during this whole conference expansion thing, we've been talking about TV markets, TV markets, TV. Big Ten doesn't need Pitt. They've got the Pittsburgh TV market with Penn State. The Big Ten doesn't need other certain areas teams because they've got these other teams. Well, what does UCLA add? You're going to be in homes in L.A., and UCLA is so bad that I can't imagine a ton of people in LA will care about them. They'll watch USC, but we've never had a discussion before with Big Ten expansion, Joe, where it's been like, well, can they take Miami and Florida State and, you know, Florida? Can they take all three? Well, they're all kind of the same TV market. What do you need them for? What do they add? What benefit when you're talking about splitting up TV revenue $70 million a piece? Why does UCLA get $70 million? What are they adding to the pie when they're the little brother of their own TV market?
Well, they beat USC by 3 touchdowns last year.
I'm not talking about necessarily winning a specific game. UCLA might be able to win a game here or there. By the way, USC was terrible last year. They were one of the biggest frauds in all of college football. I'm talking about finances. That school's got all kinds of financial problems. I'm talking about they're in the same city as USC. What do they get? What do they bring to the Big Ten that can help the Big Ten make the kind of money that they're paying them?
Yeah, and that's a fair point. And I think I don't know how possible this would be because it already has two NFL pennants, but I think a wise step would be for UCLA to move out of the Rose Bowl and closer to L.A. and into SoFi Stadium. I don't know how much that would help, but I think it would definitely make the school a bigger draw, not playing in Pasadena and playing in Los Angeles. I don't know. That's something that UCLA could do. But, yeah, I agree with you in the sense that if USC were not going – had not been interested in going to the Big Ten, UCLA wouldn't be there either. That was a package deal, and at least from a football standpoint, UCLA definitely is the little brother at the USC, and for that matter, a little brother relative to Washington and Oregon too. So we can agree on that, and we'll just see if UCLA can adjust to playing in the Big Ten, but obviously they are not off to a good start.
One last thing. This is another big picture topic I was discussing earlier. There's this report out today from On3 that Syracuse and West Virginia presidents are kind of backing the notion. It's called the College Student Football League. 72 teams, 12 conferences of 6. I think the whole thing's got all kinds of problems with it. I just want to ask you specifically, when we break off to what I like to call the Professional College Football League, whenever it happens, 3 years from now, 15 years from now, whenever in between, how many teams do you think are in that entity, This says 72. I think that's way too many. My number is 50 to 54. That would obviously leave out a lot of people that would want a seat at the table but really can't afford a seat at the table. So when we get to an ultimate college football professional league, Joe, what's your best guess on how many teams will be in it?
Yeah, I can't really see it being any more than 60 because you look at the FBS teams now, I think, is it 120, 125? I think I can't see it being much more than half of that. They're just, as you mentioned, there just aren't enough teams that really thread the needle enough to be in that kind of new world of college football where, as you mentioned, a lot of teams are going to be left out. So you say 50 to 55. I'll go slightly higher. I'll go 60. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be in the 70s at all. I don't know.
60 is a nice round number. I saw that proposed by The Athletic last year. Because, it's going to take a lot of money. And by the way, I discussed this earlier as well. The Big Ten, the SEC, they're making all the money now. They're not going to want to pay for Memphis and SMU and Navy and Vanderbilt and all these. Well, Vanderbilt is in the SEC, but they're not going to want to pay for all these teams to be in their mega professional league. In fact, I think they've got to cut Vanderbilt. I think they've got to cut Rutgers. I think they're going to have to cut the Kansas States of the. Well, maybe not Kansas State. They're a good program. Pitt is always kind of one of those borderline kind of programs. Georgia Tech. I mean, when push comes to shove, if you don't have the money to be at the big boy table and you're not going to make a commitment, my comparison, Joe, is they don't need 7 or 8 Pittsburgh Pirates types franchises in their college football league. They need people that are going to be committed to spending and making the money.
Yeah, and one of the schools you mentioned with the Rutgers and Vanderbilts, I think SMU could be a team that ends up finding its way into that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money in Dallas. There's no question about it.
And the stuff that got them the death penalty, a lot of that stuff's legal now. So we'll see what that leads to. I think the thought of more college football games in Jerry World in Dallas would be appealing to the SEC, Big Ten, whoever. And if SMU ends up becoming a good team, which they look like they're well on their way based on this season at least, they would be a draw, I think, at Cowboy Stadium. So, yeah, that's definitely a program that I think hasn't done well consistently for a long time. But in this new world of college football, That could be a school to watch, but as far as places like Vanderbilt go, I don't think there's a path for Vanderbilt football to have the same success.
Good discussion, Joe. What was your score for Penn State UCLA again? What did you say, 38 zip?
Yep, that's correct.
All right, good stuff, man. Enjoy the game, pal.
Yep, thanks, Corey.
All right, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports. Now we'll step away for a quick break. You want to chime in on anything that we just discussed or give a score prediction for Penn State versus UCLA? We'll take your calls after this.
Can't let it impact it too much. I think that, you know, if we try to change strategy or I change the way that I do things, you know, it's more of a recipe for disaster than it is success. I think that we've had enough success in these playoffs and how we've run over the last few years that, you know, what we do is good enough. You know, we don't need to change based off of a given situation. Now, you can't be dumb about it, right? If your competition stubs their toe and wrecks out early, you gotta manage the race accordingly from there. But generally speaking, I just feel as though we're good enough and I'm good enough. We just gotta have it all put together and certainly feel like this year on performance, that's as good as we've been. There's certainly probably been some other years statistically that's been a little stronger, but as far as speed's concerned, we don't come to these racetracks hoping we have speed. It's just we're hoping these races play out where speed really, really matters. So I don't know. I feel pretty good about it, but I've seen a lot of crazy things in my day, so I'm not gonna let myself get too high, too low in any given situation. I'm gonna just live with the result and try to win.
This is the final lap.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town with a picture window overlooking a yard, and you found it. Now when you sit down to dinner, you've got front row seats too. your neighbor's daily pickleball game. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Hank FM.
You're heading to the Penn State game? Stop on by J.M. Boswell's. They'll hook you up with a good cigar you can smoke out at your tailgate before, after the game, whatever. You leave the game at halftime when Penn State's maybe blowing them out. Go hang out at your tailgate with your cigar. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. That's J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigar. Tell them that you heard us talking about them on our wonderful little radio show here. I think we got, what, Jerry and Bellwood calling in. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good. You know, if they go with that name for that league, if it does come about, it'll all come down to money. It makes it sound like an intramural league. Anyway, I look at Penn State as just a mediocre team. None of their games have they, I think, been very impressive. Even with Kent State, I mean, they didn't. You know, there was, which is a, as you brought out, a horrible program, a horrible team this year. They didn't look that terrific. I mean, I don't know. I don't have much faith in them this year against quality competition. So they're the type of team that they could let a UCLA keep it close, you know, if they're not careful.
Well, a thing about a program like UCLA. Now, let me take a step back. They're not Kent State. Kent State is an FCS program, basically. They're a disaster. UCLA is still UCLA. It's still a name. I don't know up and down their roster, but I'm sure they've got some players who are pretty good. Really good high school players, really good recruits. I'm sure they've got some kids there that can play football, that they have a lot of pride, they've got a lot of competitive spirit. And so, look, I did not pick Penn State to cover. I picked 38-10. Now, I just think Penn State gets off to these slow starts. I could see Penn State dominating in the first quarter and leading like 7-0 or something like that. And it's hard to score. It's hard to cover a 4-touchdown spread. But my point is, I think the UCLA players and coaches are going to have some pride. They're not rolling in here like Kent State and happy to take their $1.5 million and leave with a 56-0 ass whooping. UCLA is still a name. It's still a program. That they're coming in here to try to play competitive football.
Right. Right. I agree. And I wanted to ask you a question, Corey. You know, I think what we're going to start seeing, and I wanted to see if you agreed, the NFL draft is going to be, I think, going to start be affected by what's going on in college football in the sense that I think we're going to see some of these top pick quarterbacks say who they're going to go want to go to, and they're not going to go to some of these teams where they're going to go get beat up, you know, which is seems what you know obviously what happens because the teams that they get drafted to had bad years, and so they go to and they're getting sacked all the time, and they're just and it's kind of screwing up some careers. So I think we're going to now that they're getting paid in college football, some of these quarterbacks are going to start making some, if they're not already making some big money, they're going to be able to dictate a lot more about where they go in the NFL draft, I think.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I know Eli was drafted by the Chargers, and he wanted nothing to do with that. John Elway was drafted. I had to look it up. He was drafted by the Baltimore Colts. He wanted nothing to do with that. In our lifetime, those are the two superstar names that, quite frankly, they controlled. They controlled their own destiny in those situations. What you're saying is these college quarterbacks who are probably going to be making a lot of money. If Drew Aller comes back to college next year, you know, I don't know. He might be making $3 million. You know, it might take that to get him back or whatever if Penn State can come up with it. So they'll have more leverage and leeway as opposed to like a Bryce Young. Look at Bryce Young. He goes to the Panthers. They're absolutely horrendous, and his NFL career might be over in 2 years for all intents and purposes. So I can see what you're saying, possibly becoming more and more true as these college players get more and more financial leverage.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Corey.
Thanks, buddy. That's a good point. Very good discussion there. And I was just thinking of this, the proposal, calling it the College Student Football League, the College Student Football League. Well, who's to say that these kids are going to have to go to class anymore when they become employees? You know what I'm telling you? I mean, we've had this discussion here for, you know, 6-8 months or whatever in the wake of all this NIL chaos and everything. But when they become employees and they're making their money, what are the legal terms going to say with regards to going to class? If you're in college and you go get a job at Walmart, they can't force you to stay in school and take class. Now, you know, and again, when we get labor unions involved, now this might not happen immediately. I'm not talking necessarily immediately that you're going to have a mass exodus of kids not going to class anymore. But over time, I can see through collective bargaining, I can see contractual negotiations over a 10, 20, 30 year period where these players' unions say, we ain't here to study school. Cardale Jones. I mean, so to call it like a college student football league, are they even going to have to be students before too long?
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text REACH to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text REACH to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text REACH to 200-300. That's REACH to 200-300. REACH to 200-300. 300.
Hey, FM.
All right, high school Friday night. Here's the games we've got on our Leitner communication stations. We got Altoona Harrisburg, 107.1 Jack FM, Hollidaysburg, Jersey Shore, right here on 96.1 Hank FM. BG Bellwood Annis, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA, Tyrone Huntingdon on 96.9 and 100.7 The Train, Central versus Penns Valley on Mix 94.7, Johnstown Richland on Cool 102.9 WCRO, and Phillipsburg Osceola Belfont on 95.3 WRSC. We didn't talk much Steelers today. Talked a lot about the Steelers. Mighty, mighty Boston. That's good stuff there, man. Interrupts my train of thought. There we go. That is awesome. All right, Steelers, big game Sunday night against, how about them Cowboys? I got Dallas winning. We'll know a lot more about the Steelers after Sunday. They're playing a team with a real quarterback. Not that Dak is great, but he's better than some of these dudes they've been playing. So we'll know a lot more about the Steelers' defense and offense after Sunday. We'll see how all that goes. So we'll recap all that on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.